Hi everyone, I'm Adriana, and we are back, even though it's been a really long time, and we are going to do things differently. Before, Ariel and I were reading some different letters that people had written us, and we still want to do that. But now I thought it would be a good opportunity to reboot the podcast with my friend Broderick. So, Broderick, do you want to say hi?
I do. What's going on?
So, Broderick is a, let's see, I'm just going to run through some of the things that you've done. A justice fellow, a Cook County fellow, you have your associate's degree from Oakton University, you're working toward your bachelor's degree at Northwestern University. You're leading restorative justice at Northwestern's Law School. You've published a paper in the Chicago Tribune talking about prison and its detrimental effects of water. You've had various speaking engagements around Illinois. And if that doesn't make us all feel like we're not doing enough, you've done it all in just a few years because Broderick was incarcerated for 13 years and he just celebrated his 2 years out of prison. That's me doing a standing ovation. So, Broderick, how has your last 2 years out been?
These two last 2 years been amazing. I've done a lot of things I thought I'd never do. Saw some different things. Even took a trip to San Francisco for restorative justice. It's been amazing. But most of all, like me being a father again.
Yes, so Broderick, you have how many children?
I have four children's beautiful.
And how old are they?
Broderick Jr. 20, Amaya 20, Breasia 15, Jada 14.
So how was that like getting out and being able to hang out with them? That just happened, what, 2 years ago in January.
Yes. It's amazing. It's a good feeling. But it was up and down because we gotta get to know each other. I'm a father, overprotective, want the best. But being on parole, that was limited. So it was a lot of like internal warfares mentally. And that kind of like probably rubbed the kids the wrong way, but for the most part, we kept going, kept growing. Now they're my homies.
Okay, let's pick up on one thing. What was one difficulty that you think that you and the kids had to work through since you've been home?
I said one difficulty would be probably my PTSD kind of maybe put a lot of pause and me want to let go, or it was mostly me, mentally. Like I probably have one of my little depression or bipolar ish moments and probably overdid something or said something. Or just took something the wrong way. We got our guards up 24/7 inside, so it was kind of like something was probably taken the wrong way from me, or I said something, but we always got passes, so they knew I was going through things mentally. So, that kind of stuck with me.
You spent 13 years incarcerated, correct?
Absolutely.
And the majority of your time was spent at Stateville or
I
somewhere else?
was, yeah, most of it because of, I was enrolled in college there. But I did some time in Danville and Pinckneyville. before I went back to Stateville.
So, do you want to touch on your case just a little bit, what the charge was, and then how you came to get out of prison?
Of course, I was charged with home invasion, battery, attempt homicide to unborn. And I believe that's it. I believe that's it. I was sentenced at first. They was trying to give me 90, but then they gave me 26 years at 85%.
And the case was built entirely on circumstantial evidence,
Yes, hearsay.
witness things, not any, I guess, actually hard evidence that tied you to the crime.
No, it wasn't hard evidence at all. It was all hearsay. Yeah, like a guy got out of, he knew how to get out of trouble. And he knew, and that's what happened. The victim believed it. And it happened to me. It is what it is. Can't complain about it now, though. Just gotta continue to grow and make things right with myself, victim, and life. That's what the restorative justice come in at.
Yeah, like Ariel and I talked about in some of our previous episodes, was how there's, I guess, a fairly high percentage of people who have served time for crimes that they did not commit. And I guess we could even point to one of your classmates, James Soto, who just,
42 years.
yeah, he was just released, and the state dropped all of the crimes against him, or all of the charges against him.
Yes.
And he did serve 42 years in prison, and now he's out, and you guys have been able to reconnect.
Yes, and we actually hung out today. Yeah, it's a good guy. He actually helped me on my case, to be honest with you. They kind of helped me get it to 50%, and then I'm here now. So, it was real good to touch bases with him again. Like when he got out, I made it my business to be one of the first ones there, ready to embrace him. Welcome to this new world, new life.
What is one fun thing you and James have done?
Just sit back and just laughed and just talk about, prison, especially like me and Stavia. We just talked about that because me being on the outside, I kind of like got in trouble in Stateville and got banned. So, we talked about that, laughed about it because it was something that he wished he would have done, or what he said he wished he was brave enough to have done. But I just do things, like I'm impulsive. So yeah, we laughed about that really hard. Like it was funny.
Okay, let's talk about your first day out 2 years ago. First of all, you didn't even know you were about to leave.
No, they didn't even tell me. They didn't give me no heads up. They didn't tell me my home site was approved. They just came back doing count, like Hollis, pack it up. I just looked at them like where I'm going because I thought I was moving to another cell or a cell house. So I said, "Where I'm going?" He said, "You're going home." So, the guards have been there. They all, well, not all of them. A lot of them evil. So I thought he was playing. So I told him, that shit ain't funny. Don't play like that. You know, I'm serious. I said, then go tell your boss to tell me. So he came back with Lieutenant Norman. And Lieutenant Norman, like, man, yeah, Rick, you getting up out of here, boy. Back it up, man. Congratulations. So that's when, like, the whole anxiety's kicked in. Like, is this true? So once once I kind of like got out of the stage of shock, I said, I'm ready now, man. I ain't taking nothing, man. We could go now.
Is what they would allow you to take what out? Anything that was in your cell?
Yeah, like if you want to take your commissary, your clothes, not your blues, that's like the t-shirts and drawers, all what you bought. The TVs, tablets,
Like commissary,
radios.
you mean like food you had bought?
Yeah, like the food I bought. Stuff like that, shoes, candy, whatever. And I'm ready now, man. Like, I left TVs, fans. I left everything but my pictures and a few and some books. I had a lot of books there. A lot of reading and writing, so I had a lot of books, so I took a lot of books back too.
And so, how long do you think it was from the time they said, okay, you're going to leave, to that you actually walked outside?
Man, it was a whole shift, about 7 hours. Because I had to go, first everything in Stateville, that was a considered a maximum prison. So everybody got to walk. But I just was determined not to put handcuffs on if I was free. So, that probably prolonged things. That's no need for handcuffs. I ain't finna do nothing crazy. You said I was going home. But, had to go get a physical, which was kind of like weird because they, measured your weight and everything else. So it was kind of, whatever, just get this over with, man. Then sit back, had to sign papers. Then they give me a call. That would have to change out of the little blues to put on a big old white t-shirt. Then they take a picture before you leave. And that picture was like terrible, 'cause I was they just took it. Like, I sat down not knowing was what, but I didn't care. I was getting up out of there. So after that, I go back, then change out, then take all my money off the books, go to the front. Then I was just looking out the window, like, man, this finna really happen. It's gonna really happen. So then it took that month, that long. Then they let me call. I called my mother, told her the same thing. She was like, she was excited. She said, "Man, your sister's on her way there. She'll be there. She'll be there." And so my little sister Brittany was there, like waiting on me. When I get my little brother too. When I got out, I heard her scream my name. I know her voice, I talked to her over the phone, and that's being my little sister, so I know her. She ran to me and just jumped in my arms. That was like, that felt good, 'cause it was kind of like, man, I'm free now.
And this was right outside of Stateville.
Right outside of Stateville.
Okay, so your sister picks you up.
Yeah. She picked me up, asked me what I wanted. I've been watching the subway. Been watching the Subway commercial for like 4 years.
Do you remember what the sandwich was?
Absolutely, it was the Southwest State. I was for like 4 years. I would not miss that commercial. I'd never turn from it. So it's like, man, I think I want that's gonna be my meal, my first meal. So I.
So, Subway
Yeah, that's
was your first meal.
for 4 years I watched that commercial. I would not turn from it because that commercial made it look so special. Like how the sauce just dripped on it. But yeah, anyway. So my sister, she looked at me like, bro, it's way more better restaurants than Subway. I said, man, I've been seeing this commercial for like 4 years.
So
I
now
gotta get this sandwich. Yeah. She like, now you can have anything you want, and that's what you want, Subway. I say, sus, if you would have saw how that whatever Chipotle sauce fell off that sandwich. So I knew the commercial, like every commercial that had that sandwich on it, I knew like when the sauce is gonna fall and how the cucumbers is gonna. So it was I just wanted it. So she took me there.
To a
Subway.
Subway
Yeah.
or to
We went like maybe 10 minutes away from the prison. Cause you know, I was hungry, I ain't eat nothing. So I wanted that sandwich.
okay.
But, you know, me dealing being incarcerated so long, I kinda got institutionalized that I had a panic attack. It was too many people's moving, too many directions and cars and birds and all type of life was just happening.
Because what's it like in Stateville when you say even just go to eat or something? What's the, like break down how ordered it is?
It's very like a military. We all go the same way. We go out, they get us out our cage. We all go left, everybody. So we all walk left. Then we get to the stairs if you're on the upper gallery. But I was always lower gallery. So we get to the door, in my case, because I'm on a lower gallery. Everybody go left. Then we turn right, a sharp right. Everybody, we go outside, walk downstairs, and make another right to go to the chow hall. So
And
we
you're
all go the same
like
direction.
file line,
You said what now?
so like single file line.
Yeah. Single file line, everybody, same way.
So that's how you do it there, and then you've shown up here, and it's just,
Yeah, chaotic.
where.
Yeah, people's everywhere. Cars, birds, squirrels, everything. So I kind of like, I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it. But my sister, she knew what I was going through. She looked out for me. Came back, I got my sandwich. After I calmed down, you know, I had a huge heartbeat, like it was too much. Like it was something I never felt. So I didn't know how to like battle that. So I just went in where I just left a small cage and locked the door. Went back in the truck. So yeah, it was too much for me.
So that shows, how unprepared they make anyone to be outside in the world. How did your sandwich taste?
Man, that was like the best. I was waiting 4 years for that
Wait,
sandwich.
did you like it?
I loved it. I still get it right
Do
now.
you really?
Yes. It tastes like everything I imagined. For real. And I would get like the extra sauce so it could drip on me.
Top five best meals?
Top five? Yeah. You want my top five best meals or was that sandwich top five?
Is it in the top five?
That's definitely the top five. Yeah, that's my best Subway sandwich, man.
Shout out to whoever did the commercial.
That commercial was special. I always put a smile on my face.
Always make me smile. Okay, so you got your sandwich and then you went to your sister's house.
I came to my I had my mother. About time I came here, my mother was here, my auntie was here, my grandmother here, God bless her soul. She told me she would be here. My sister, of course. This when I first got here. So I know my mother ran outside. I get her. We embrace each other, hug my mother. She been riding with me the whole time. Like she even came to Pinckneyville. That's like 6, 7 hours away. So, you know, my mother made me feel human the most. You know, always been that show love, never missed court, all that. So it's the best mother ever. Then my auntie, Mike Kim, you know, and my grandmother, we hugged for a long time. Long time. Then I think I hugged my Aunt Kim after that because she knew that moment with my grandma was special. But my Aunt Kim was up. She was at every court case too. She held me down because she like one of the realest women, toughest women. Every woman in my family was tough. But my Aunt Kim was different. Like she and just like my uncles, they let us be. But we knew how far to go. That's how my Aunt Kim is. I could do a lot, but it's I know how to, I know the limits. So, that day happened. Of course, my kids didn't know. So my sisters were so like astounded. Like, man, we got a surprise. Don't tell them nothing. Don't tell them nothing. Now this time, people's finding out that I'm home because social media. I just met that, so.
Yeah, and again, majority of the time people would know that this is your out date, but you kind of just said it, hey,
Right.
sis, come pick me up.
I know, yeah.
So now your whole family is still finding out, like over time.
Yeah, and some people still don't know. It's 2 years later, but how we got my kids was special, right? By this time, like people showing up because I showed social media. Yeah, I still don't know nothing about that. Probably ain't gonna never learn, but
Soon.
yeah, so many people's found out, see my picture, and because of my sisters and mother, auntie, everybody was showing it. Family, brother, cousins. So each sister got a kid of mine. And my first child was Briasia.
You mean, did they pick them up from school
From
as well?
school, yeah, from school. They didn't have no idea. She just realized, like, why am I coming over here on a Monday, on a school day? So she was standing in the living room, and I just walked out the kitchen, not saying nothing. And she just stared at me. Then she ran to me. Then that was the first time, like we hugged. Then she was 8 months. So that was a nice hug right there.
Because what are the visits like when you were in prison with your children? Like, can you, how much contact can you have?
I mean, when they first get there, we could do a little hug. That's it. They couldn't and stay there. You couldn't. They had to sit in front of you. It's prison. They don't want us to feel human. But it was,
So you're always feeling watched, essentially. You're not supposed
yeah.
to be overly like affectionate.
Yeah, like ain't nobody, everybody not creeps, so ain't nobody gonna be doing crazy things to their loved ones, man. So it was, we all gotta be punished for that. But their whole goal is to like destroy us mentally and dehumanize us, so they ain't break me.
So that's Briasia, and then who came home next?
I think that was BJ. BJ, my son, he walked in. I was looking at him through the window. And so when he walked in, I kind of let him in. And he just looked up like, oh, it was like a shock. Like he saw me but didn't see me because I ain't supposed to be here. That was that. Yeah, like I met like Jada like the next day 'cause she was with her mom. And like her mom was like was on the case as a victim. So we had to talk more, see what was going on, how we was gonna do this. But she came through, we talked. Now she like one of my shit, probably the best. Like we just the best we ever been. Like we get along well now,
So you
so
co-parent well.
yeah. Like friends. We probably ain't never been went this long, 2 years without, some type of beef, so it's better now. It's still growing. I ain't saying 100%, but I see and I feel, progress. But yeah, Jada come through, hug, like we got a really good bond. Like I would say, and a lot of people just say that's the daddy's girl, but
She is the baby.
she's the baby. Yeah, that's my baby. She was born while I was in jail. But we had deep conversations and still having deep conversations and just watching her grow up, man. I gotta work on my temper, man. I got some beautiful daughters. I ain't trying to see that cage again, but I just know what I do them for my kids. But they some good. I teach them the game, so and it's gonna be hard to get over on them.
When did you see Amaya?
Later on that night, she had came with her mother when she came to see me as well. Like me and her mother, their mother, her creation mother too. We cool. Like we never had no real problems. So it's a good co-parent type thing. But right now with us, it's kind of shaky because how parole had me. But she understand this, so everything building. So yeah, Maya came over that night with her. So it was by that time I think she knew. Maya knew.
And shout out because Maya's in college now,
Yeah, yeah, man.
following your footsteps.
Yeah, she's super smart. Yeah.
And then, so you were with everyone that day, and then that night, were you there with the kids and your family?
And friends, like for the first 2 weeks, everybody probably took vacation because I don't know, everybody was there for 2 weeks. We all slept everywhere. It was real special. It was surreal. It was the best. I got meals, a lot of home cooked meals. It was that
Even
whole
commissary food.
no more. Yeah, the best. Like my grandmother, the pioneer of the kitchen. And then my auntie could cook, mama could cook, all sisters could cook, cousins cook. So it was special then that my cousins came through there. Some of my homies, childhood friends came through there. But meanwhile, like Breasia was my daughter was there, like was right there under me, like that whole time I was home. So that was special. Like it was there following me around, showing me how to dress. Yeah, it was nice. It was real good. Real good. But we have our ups and downs, but that's my heart right there.
So you got out, and then immediately you were put on parole, which is typical.
Yeah, immediately, like parole and house arrest.
Yeah, you were also on house arrest for how long?
6 months.
And what were the terms of your house arrest? You had to be, what hours could you leave your house?
7 to 7. Seven in
Okay.
the morning and 7 at night. And
Okay.
I had to have some amazing people to make that happen for me so I could go to school and work. But I
Yeah.
also stayed out late a few times to do like some events and whatnot.
Okay, yeah, so you got like to stay out a bit later if you were going to do like a speaking engagement
Yeah.
or you were going to be on campus and so that you could work if you need to work.
Of
And
course.
then after 6 months, what changed then?
I cut that band off myself. I ain't wait no longer. But they gave me the okay because I called like, man, when y'all coming? It was like midnight. So I cut it off myself and I just ain't had no I ain't had nothing to do. I just wanted to just do something, just be outside because I
Yeah.
can. But yeah, I was on a GPS and that's like they know my every move. They probably hear me. I know they speak to me through it, so they could speak, they probably could hear.
You can talk through the ankle bracelet.
I don't, not really. They didn't say you could, but they could talk to you though.
They
So
can
if,
talk to you through your ankle bracelet.
yeah, they'll tell me like, man, you too far, or like, charge your battery up. We looking for you, stuff like that. So yeah, I had to call in and report.
So that's scary.
Yeah, so imagine being like in a Walmart and that thing just start talking. So they know, oh yeah, he a criminal. Let's get away from him, stuff like that. I was going through that, or being on campus with
Like that you were on the phone.
that. Yeah. Well, being on a college campus and they see it. So it was, that's the stuff I had to deal with still. And then you gotta always deal with the permanent incarceration. So meaning like it don't go away. So no matter how many degrees I got, I still did prison time.
Yeah, meaning that your record will always be.
Show you right, show you right.
So, you've been adjusting really well. You have more degrees than lots of people. You are a fellow for a couple of different programs. What do you think was, I guess, what do you think helped you to be able to do all that? Was it being around your family and having a strong support system, knowing you had somewhere to go?
Yeah, like fast, like that adapting to like life. But once I adapt to like the whole like school thing, because I really wasn't a fan of it. But like, shout out to like my Serena and Adriana. I had some good tutors who kind of like held me down on the school thing as far as like life. Same too, like Madison, Jana, Jerfa, Annie, of course. Annie Booth is my heart right there. I'm the one showed me how to do the like the computers and laptop, because I ain't never worked with none of that. So without that, it was kind of like you gonna always be stuck, even with the phones got gadgets on me. So I had like a really good people that I was around every day. Help me get by. And I probably missed somebody, so I apologize if
I forgot I was gonna say that that's even how we met in the first place. I was volunteering for Northwestern's Prison Education Program,
yeah.
founded by Jennifer Lackey at Northwestern.
Show you right.
Broderick is a student through Northwestern's Prison Education Program, as well as everyone you mentioned, different students and different professors, graduate students, undergraduate students, people that came together and I guess made the program possible.
We doing our thing too.
And it's still going. You guys just all met up today.
And we did, and we did. And I talked to my amazing tutor a lot too.
I was like, oh yeah, wait.
You
What you
had to think about
doing?
that.
So it sounds like things are going well for the most part, even though I'm sure there are still, it's only been 2 years.
Only been 2 years, but just a few hours ago, I've been free from parole, so everything's looking up.
There we go, another round of applause.
Another free from parole. That don't to me, don't nobody know that neither. So this is Adriana's classification. She get the secrets. Nobody know that. I'm secretive. I don't pretty much, I be to myself. I don't let everybody in. So she was the first to know.
And now we appreciate that you're telling everyone your story because I'm sure there's lots of people that can relate.
Yeah, especially being in prison, you kind of like standoffish, be to yourself, because you can't really trust people in prison, because they'll do whatever they got to do to get out. And so I'm always quiet. I don't show no emotion, so that's why I am who I am and how I am. Even working out, I don't show no emotions or try to be too friendly.
Okay, let's do some questions because that's going to bring me to one of my questions for you.
Okay. I ain't scared.
Okay, before you went into prison, going into prison, what is one personality change that you noticed in yourself just from being in prison? And then the change that you notice now that you're out?
When I went in prison, a personality change. Oh, wow. I became a hermit when I went in prison. Like, I'll stay in my cell and just, shower, go back in. I ain't want to be around nobody. I ain't want to talk to nobody. I ain't want to see nobody. So yeah, I became like a hermit when I went in. Like, just let me do this, or let me try to do this.
Because that was kind of like, well, I guess it was helpful in a way you weren't standing out.
Yeah,
Right.
out the way. Just I didn't want to just be seen. It was, then I still had the whole like deep depression, but then I got out of that real fast. It was kind of like, just something gonna come from this. This is this Northwest education came from it. So then I met amazing people. So I'm doing different things now. So my the attitude change now is I'm more of a people, trying to be more of a people person now. Like, I ain't saying I'm 100%, but me opening, me being around like the women I named earlier, that helped. Like, that's my new, what I'm doing now. So I'm more like talkative now.
Okay, another question. What is your new favorite meal?
My new favorite meal. My new favorite meal is actually like that buffalo chicken sauce type thing. I like that. I don't know if y'all
Oh,
ever.
the buffalo chicken dip?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I was gonna say, please, is this another Subway sandwich?
Nah.
Buffalo chicken Subway sandwich.
Nah. That's my new favorite meal, but I still love pepper steak and steak, of course, salmon. But like that dip thing, I got hooked on that.
Okay, buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah, in fact, I want some of that like now.
We'll make that at Super Bowl party.
Boom. Let's get it.
And what's one thing that you're looking forward to do, forward that you're looking forward to this year?
What I'm looking forward to this year is actually just doing whatever I want to do, because I've been confined for so long. Now it's no more restrictions and shackles and nothing. So whatever I want to do, I'm gonna do it. Of course, it's gonna be, safe and peaceful.
And of course, I'm breaking
Yeah, I ain't trying to
in.
start over, but I'm just gonna just live.
So you can go on a trip. You can go on a road trip, on
All that.
a plane.
Whenever I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a lot of things that I, like I said, never done. So now I want to do those as I travel.
Okay.
I did a lot of things.
Well,
Okay.
thank you, Broderick. I'm going to post some photos. I'm gonna link, send some links to your profiles online, attach your paper that was published in the Chicago Tribune so that everyone can look it up. And then if anyone has questions, maybe next time, they can send us an email. And you can email us at piecesfromprison@gmail.com. PIECES, piecesfromprison@gmail.com. And that's it for
That's
tonight.
it.
Thanks, Broderick.
Thank you.